Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Today's program is brought to you by the International Culinary Center, offering courses that range from classic French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking to Italian studies to management, from culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit culinarycenter.com.
Hi, this is Joe Campanelli, the host of In the Drink. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
And welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. My weekly column, Ask a Clean Person, appears on Deadspin.com, and my guest today is Kristen Appenbrink. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, Jolie.
Kristen is a freelance writer and contributing editor at The Kitchen. She recently launched a newsletter called Pop-Up Kristen, where she answers questions and shares solutions she's learned from 8 years of working at lifestyle publications. In her spare time, she makes homemade ice cream. Kristen, I might have a request for a homemade ice cream flavor.
Sure. What's the flavor?
Do you know what a fluffernutter is?
I do.
Okay. So for people who don't, fluffernutters are very New England. Are you from New England?
No, I'm from Kansas City.
Okay. How do you know what a fluffernutter is then, girl?
Just know.
Because we worked at the lifestyle publication.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so for people who don't know, fluffernutter is a very New England thing, although it's spread now.
Yeah.
It's not as provincial as it used to. When I was growing up, like, people who New England didn't know what a fluffernutter is. So what a fluffernutter is it's marshmallow fluff and peanut butter in a sandwich. And it's...
You don't put banana in yours?
No.
Okay.
That's a variation.
Yeah. Okay.
I know, but you know what? You should put peanut butter and bacon, I feel like. Banana and bacon with the peanut butter and fluff. I think it would be delicious.
Actually...
You're making a face.
Those are three things that I do not eat.
Okay. I don't eat those.
Okay. Absolutely.
Brigham's, which is an old New England ice cream chain that I think no longer exists in store forms. I don't think they have any brick and mortar, but the ice cream, they still make the ice cream. I looked this up recently.
Okay. Did they make a fluffernutter?
They used to make a fluffernutter ice cream flavor. They don't make it anymore.
So was it a peanut butter ice cream with like swirled fluff through it?
I think it may have been a vanilla ice cream with swirls of peanut butter and fluff through
sure.
it.
Okay.
I'll do a little more research.
Yeah,
and I'm going to have you make me some couture ice cream.
Definitely, yes.
Custom ice cream.
I did just make a circus peanut ice cream.
I saw that.
Which was, I don't like marshmallows, so that was not my thing. But it was it was a great color.
Well, and that's partly how I got the idea to mention this to you, because I saw on Instagram that you had made this, and I was like, oh, circus peanuts are marshmallows.
Yeah.
Like, she could probably make me this, the like holy grail
Absolutely.
Of my personal ice cream flavors. Anyway, we are not actually here to talk about ice cream flavors. We are here to talk about kitchen messes.
Yes.
Guys, I have a fellow clean person here with me.
Yes.
Kristen. So Kristen and I, you know, I mentioned in her bio that she has been writing for lifestyle publications for 8 years. Kristen and I met a couple of years ago, I think probably just maybe before my book was coming out. You interviewed me for a piece, you know, to be an expert source, which I do all the time for people. And so we just like struck up a friendship and stayed in touch via email. And then we actually finally met in person earlier this year. We braved the Lily for Target sale together, Kristen.
It was madness.
It was
Terminal
madness.
Target.
Whew. It was madness. And because Kristen got there a little bit before me, she secured me a set of the stirrers, the cocktail stirrers, which I am like forever in your debt because I really, really love those.
And you use them all the time, right?
Yes, of course. Great. Absolutely. So anyway, so that's how Kristen and I know each other. And then also, you know, we've just really bonded because she is a fellow clean person and she writes, she's a contributing editor to The Kitchen, which is one of my favorite sites. The Kitchen is kind of the food and drink and cooking and, you know, kitchen decor arm of Apartment Therapy, which I've been reading for a long, long time.
Yeah.
I actually, believe it or not, once entered one of their small, cool apartment contests.
Oh, nice.
Or small, cool kitchen. I did not win. I was ripped apart by the commenters who are so vicious.
Yeah.
Which leads me into, I'm so excited to have you here so that I can mention probably my all-time favorite. First of all, I am like a big believer in like always read the comments.
Always. See,
It's easier for me to say that because my commenters tend to actually be pretty nice to me.
True, yes.
The place, I mean, even in the place where I had the hardest time with the commenters, which was on Jezebel, for the most part, it was a very positive response to what I was doing. You know, you would get some people who were put out, and I understood that. It's easier for me to say always read the comments. But Kristen and I were talking when we were preparing that there was a post somewhat recently on The Kitchen about a hostess who liked or wanted to tell her guests not to offer to help with the dishes.
Which I fully support.
Right.
I hate having help with the dishes.
But here's why this one particular woman didn't want the help. It had nothing to do with worrying about the quality of her guest's dish doing.
Correct.
It had everything to do with her need as an introvert to take 5 or 10 minutes away from the group at dinner
and just recharge
on her own. And that doing the dishes was the excuse, the avenue by which she could get that five or 10 minutes alone time. And I feel that I'm an introvert. Kristen, you're an introvert.
I'm an introvert.
I wonder
for
if introversion and clean personism are related. I will have to look into that.
That very well could be.
It could be.
Cause it's very meditative.
It is very meditative. Exactly. And like it's a control thing. And I imagine that's probably some element of introversion is control and so on and so forth. So Kristen, you know, was like, when we were preparing for this episode, was like, I kind of want to talk about that. So we're going to talk a lot about cleaning the kitchen.
Yes.
And I mentioned to her, I was like, I want to mention that thread because the comments on that piece went bananas. Like people, there were a lot of people who absolutely understood it. They were like, oh, I've never articulated it, but I feel exactly the same way. And then there were a lot of people who were really, really offended. And the commenters on Apartment Therapy and The Kitchen are an odd mix. Mean.
Like, it depends on the post.
People.
It depends on the post. For my post personally, I've had a fairly good experience, but I know that there are a lot of posts out there where it just gets super trolly.
It's crazy to me, and it's like so weird because this is actually like a fairly high end, like just not the place you would expect to have this like rabid group of commenters, which leads me into my all-time favorite comment thread on the entire internet. There was a post on Apartment Therapy proper about cleaning a washing machine, and which is a thing that people do and that in many cases should be done.
Sure.
You get detergent buildup, you get dirt buildup, you got to clean the vents out. Mm-hmm. If it's an appliance that someone else, if you've bought a house with a washer dryer in it and someone else has been using it and you maybe want to, there are a lot of reasons to clean a washing machine, basically is what I'm trying to tell you here. And I think in this particular case, the person writing the post was cleaning it because she was laundering cloth diapers.
Yeah.
That's a good reason to clean. Our engineer just stuck her tongue out and is making a horrible face. Liz makes the best faces when I say gross things on this program, which I say a lot of gross things on this program. I'll have to like take photos of her doing that, post them on the website. So that's the reason she was cleaning it, and which is a very good reason to clean out a washing machine. Well, someone just took great umbrage at this and like was like, "What kind of psycho cleans a washing machine? You have too much time on your hands." Blah, 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 like just went crazy. And then the pile on.
She has a newborn. She does not have too much time on her hands.
But then the best part was that then the commenters piled on this person, and then it just turned into this insanity of like hundreds of comments of people screaming at each other over washing a washing machine.
Yep.
It was amazing. It was perfect. It's why I love the internet. The internet is so great. Weird. So in any event, so that's sort of the background on the site that Kristen writes for. Fortunately, she doesn't have that happen.
For the most part, yeah.
So we should, however, take up. Maybe you'll get some like screaming comments in response to this podcast. Maybe I'll get some. Woo! Wouldn't that be exciting? We're gonna say some very very controversial things today about
dishes,
cleaning a kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So actually, we should take on this first question. I feel like you're going to relate to this. I relate to this.
Yes.
Because it's actually something I just did in my own home.
It's something I feel like I do almost every day. Not at a great scale.
Right. No, I deal with it every day. Exactly. So I actually did it on a great scale this weekend. It's a question that's come up. It comes up all the time, but it's really come up a bunch lately. I've kind of noticed there's just been like an uptick in it. No, there's no real rhyme or reason. It's not a seasonal thing at all.
I feel like it is a little bit in New York though, because a lot of people don't have air conditioners like spring and summer. And because if you have your windows open,
your windows open. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So I'm going to read the question.
Great.
And then you'll understand what we're all talking about here. Okay. So question one from reader Len. Len writes to me, I have a medium-sized kitchen and I cook quite a bit in it. Not a heinous amount of cooking or anything, just a few times a week. I've noticed that over time, everything in the kitchen has developed a sticky, oily layer on it.
Gross.
And then he adds, okay, not everything, but a lot of things. The spice rack near my stove, the cabinets, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure everybody is listening to this being like, oh yeah, so he adds, it's almost as though the cooking oils became airborne and attached to whatever surface they could find. It even gets on the cupboards and ascends to gently coat whatever is on top of my fridge, which is currently where I keep all my liquor bottles, making for somewhat awkward, haha, I'm a dirty laughs when I have people over and they're mixing their own drinks. Other than finding new friends who don't mooch on my booze, what's the best way to clean everything down? The sticky oiliness is pretty stubborn.
It is stubborn.
It's stubborn. Okay. So that's the thing that I did this weekend. I did like the top of the fridge, the top of the microwave. And then this is so gross. Ready for this?
Yeah.
I'm admitting
Late
something.
On me.
Yeah. I'm admitting something so gross about myself. I'm a Crystal Light addict. And because I'm a Crystal Light addict, I know. Listen, don't.
Wait, the powder or the.
The powder.
Okay.
I don't want to hear about the Splenda, people. I hear it all. I hear it from my dad. I don't need to hear it from you, stranger listening to this podcast. I know it's bad. I know it's going to kill me. I love Splenda. All right. Leave the Splenda alone, people. All right. So don't lecture me about my Crystal Light habit, because I'm not going to break it. In fact, if you lecture me, I'm going to drink more Crystal Light just to spite you. So here's the thing about my Crystal Light habit is that I really water down. I only use like a quarter of the amount you're supposed to use.
So it's Crystal Light Light.
Exactly.
Is what you're drinking.
Exactly.
Great.
And because of this habit, both because then I like have to measure out the powder and then just like the nature of mixing the Crystal Light.
Yeah.
There is a fine patina of red, and I drink red Crystal Light, people. Like I drink the red raspberry. Raspberry ice is my flavor.
Perfect.
Yeah. The grossest flavor you could get. At least it's not fruit punch.
Fruit punch
is gross. Yeah,
yeah.
Fruit punch is really gross. So anyway, so there's like a red patina on top of this sticky.
Yep.
Gross oily mess that's like on top of the vent hood and on the kitchen cabinets and on the top of the fridge. And so this past weekend I just did my own red sponges. Like, it's just so gross. So there's my private shame. Now you all know. So here's the thing, Len, you're actually, it's not kind of sort of a sticky, oily, it is oil.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
So what happens, and Kristen, you add to this like sort of.
Yeah, it's just, it's splattering from your kitchen.
Right.
It gets in the air. There's nothing you can
exactly.
do about it.
So oil, you know, when you're cooking, grease, steam, all that stuff is, it is indeed airborne and it's going to land on any surface. So that's everything from the top of the refrigerator to the vent hood, to the cabinets, to the floor.
Right.
Everything is going to be covered in this, and it is greasy, and it becomes sticky over time, and then it becomes a magnet for dust.
Yes.
So
that's the big summer problem for...
Right.
Yeah, because we have our windows open almost
all year. Yeah, exactly. So, here... Okay, I'm going to give... I'm going to give, there are a number of ways to tackle this.
Yep.
And I'm going to give two really good ones. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to preface this by saying that one is a chemical that is not eco-friendly.
Right.
And the other is.
Okay.
So I'm offering options. The one that is not eco-friendly is going to work much better and much faster and with much, much less elbow grease on your part.
Mm-hmm.
So just know that going in. So that option is ammonia.
Yep.
I love ammonia in the kitchen. I love the smell of ammonia. I'm one of those where I like the smell of gasoline. I'm one of those people. So ammonia, the two things to know about, or actually the three things to know about ammonia. One, you got to use gloves.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you got to open the windows because yep. the smell of it is very, very strong. You will dilute it. Even diluted, you want to use gloves always. And you don't need a whole lot, like a quarter cup to like a gallon of water is probably perfect. A perfect ammonia solution. So you're not using a whole lot of it. The other thing, always, always, always have to say this when we're talking about ammonia, is never mix ammonia with bleach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bad news.
So, yeah. That will create, the two chemicals have a reaction that will create, a gas that is toxic and poisonous. You could die from it. So please don't do that. Don't mix the ammonia. Don't mix ammonia with anything except water and maybe a blurt of dish soap. But like generally speaking, yeah. just like with ammonia, be very careful with it. So in any event, ammonia used with a sponge or rag. I really like a Dobie pad for cleaning that sticky yeah. stuff. So a Dobie pad is a 3M sponge product. That's a sponge that's covered in kind of like a nylon netting that will not cause scratching.
Right.
So it's great for use on appliances, you know, anything from like a, you know, plastic refrigerator to a metal vent hood. Mm-hmm. It's not going to cause scratching, but it is going to help the abrasion of the Dobie pad is going to work in concert with whatever cleaning product you're using to help get that stickiness off.
Yeah.
So that's the first one. The other one that you can use that's very good, and I actually did use this for because I was kind of testing
right.
A little bit this weekend because I do like to test things out if I can. My reader's testings for me a lot
yeah.
of times too, which is great, so helpful. Is Simple Green.
Oh, yeah.
So Simple Green is another one that it comes concentrated. It's a liquid. It is green. I have looked up the ingredients list.
Mm-hmm.
So you dilute that and, you know, with Simple Green, you don't need gloves. It has like sort of funny medicinal smell that
right.
I actually don't love as much as I love the smell of ammonia. But you know, it's gentler. And it does do a very, very good job on that kitchen mm-hmm. stickiness. So yeah. that was actually what I used this weekend. It wasn't as good as the ammonia, but it was pretty darn
right.
good. I mean,
yeah.
for an eco-friendly option. But here's the other thing I'm going to mention. It's like 5 or 6 times the cost of the ammonia. The
Absolutely.
Ammonia, it was like 99 cents for the bottle, where
yeah.
the Simple Green was like $5.50. So that, you know, there's a price difference with these things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So in any event, so on that note, we actually are going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about two of Kristen's favorite cleaning, because we got to talk about some of my favorite cleaning
yes.
products. So now we get to talk about yours. When we come
Perfect.
Back from the break, we're going to talk about cleaning cast iron enameled ware mm-hmm. reader question. I'm Jolie Kerr. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
The International Culinary Center is a proud sponsor of the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The ICC, with locations in New York and California, provide cutting-edge education to future chefs, restaurateurs, and wine professionals. We're proud to claim Dan Barber, Bobby Flay, and David Chang among our honored alumni. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton from Chef Story. Check out our ICC website at internationalculinarycenter.com.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Julie Kerr, and my guest today is The Kitchen's Kristen Avenbrink. We've been talking about kitchen messes, which makes sense given what you do. Do you spend a lot of time thinking about kitchen messes, or do you just sort of, are you on like autopilot?
I'm a little bit on autopilot, but I spend a lot of time cleaning up my kitchen messes. Right. I'm a very like project-based cook, so I'm always trying new things.
Right.
And then kind of ending up with a sink full of dishes and not really sure how I got there.
Exactly. So you do like a lot of recipe testing for the kitchen, right?
I actually don't do recipe testing for them. I do recipe testing for me.
Okay.
But I do like mostly ice cream, but also I love experimenting. Like it's kind of like my science lab is
okay.
My kitchen.
Got it. Yeah. I feel a little bit the same way. Yeah. I'm in a farm chair this summer and it's definitely, and I'm writing about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it lends itself to experimentation,
yeah,
which is
it
fun.
Pushes you
and
to
I
try
like
new
it.
Things.
Yeah. And actually I found that the writing about it is actually the thing. Cause I've done a farm chair before.
Yeah.
Where I've experimented, you know,
sure.
Sort of, that's
like,
that's
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. I guess I'll figure out how to make it. But the writing about it part has actually made me even more adventurous in terms of trying new things. And I've had here's a weird thing. I've had an odd summer in terms of making a lot of recipes from the New York Times.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I generally, in the past, have not been a big maker of New York because they're a little needlessly complicated.
Sure. I feel like their new cooking section has been really revamped and well done.
And I kind of wonder if it's a result of the new cooking section that they're doing some simpler recipes. So I've had really good luck with that. Yeah. I've eaten well this summer.
Nice.
My waistline probably shows that, but that's all right. Okay, so actually, this, which leads us very, very nicely into question number two from Reader. And actually,
perfect.
This is also my friend.
Oh, nice.
Who, yeah, because, you know, my friends do ask me questions.
Of course.
They're always like, am I allowed to ask them? I'm like, yes.
Yes, please do.
I'm like, one, yes. And two, do you think I'm going to not answer your email? Like, I'm going to answer your question personally to you, even if I don't run in the column. This was cute. And it's not kitchen related, but the girl who appeared immediately behind me alphabetically in grammar school emailed me a question last night.
Oh, that's
and
adorable.
And I was like, oh, Lauren.
I love that.
It makes me so happy.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I've known you since we were six. You know, like, that's so cool.
Of course I'll answer your question.
It was actually a really good question.
So good.
I'm going to run it eventually. But anyway, it was just a nice thing. So anyway, this is from my friend. I do get this one from time. This is not an uncommon question. You've probably heard this one, too. So my friend Allie writes, okay, I put off doing this, but I can't solve this myself. Meaning she put off asking me.
Right.
Yeah. I was like, don't just ask. You know me. That's like the perk. I have an enameled cast iron Dutch oven, and the inside is stained. It's not scorched, per se, just discolored. I don't know what caused it, and no amount of elbow grease is removing it. It's not harming cooking, but I hate it being stained. Do you have any ideas? I'm scared of ruining this billion-dollar pot doing some random solution I find through Google. So she basically means she has a Le Creuset.
Right.
Which I have. I've been collecting Le Creuset since I was in my 20s. You know, sort of like finding pieces here and there and adding to my
collection. I'm a Copco person. Michael Lex by Copco. It's like a beautiful 1960s design. But yeah, very similar to Le Creuset.
So this is one that we get all the time. So here's the deal for people who don't work with this kind of enameled cast iron cookware. Generally, the exterior is a color. Like my color is jade green.
Right.
Do you have a color that you collect or are you multicolor?
No. Multicolor.
Okay. So the interior, however, is generally cream colored.
Yep.
And that means that, and it's enameled, and then underneath the enamel is cast iron. That means that the cream colored interior will get stained very easily because you use those for making things
all kinds of things, chili. Yeah.
You know, or chicken, for me,
exactly.
Like I'm half Indian. I make a lot of curries, and so that, you know, tomatoes, turmeric, anything like that, chili powder.
Yes.
That's all going to stay in the pot.
Immediately.
Even just braising meat is mm-hmm. going to stay in the pot. So as long as it's not scorched, you're yeah. actually, and the only reason to remove the scorch is just because it sort of befouls the bottom of
right.
the pan and the pot won't do its job as well. And
exactly.
so on and so forth. So as long as it's not scorched, the staining is fine.
Which yeah, it's not going to hurt anything yeah, when you're cooking.
Which is what Allie is saying. Like, mm-hmm. But it can be bothersome for people because they right. feel like, oh my God, I stained this thing. So I have some solutions,
uh-huh.
Both of which involve two of your favorite cleaning. Do you want to say your two favorite cleaning?
Yes. I love Bon Ami
yeah.
or Bon Ami, however you say it.
Bon Ami.
Yeah. Bon Ami.
Is how I say yeah. it.
A million different pronunciations.
Right.
And
that's because I, yeah. and I'm the other side of me is Italian and my,
there you
my,
go.
My great grandmother, my mother's grandmother used Bon Ami and my mother said, yeah. Bon Ami is how you pronounce it.
And see, I'm very Italian. Midwestern. Bon Ami.
Right. Yeah.
That's how we say
Bon Ami.
Bon Ami. So, Bon Ami and OxoBrite, which is essentially OxyClean,
yes.
but the eco-friendly version.
Right, exactly.
Which is great.
Right. So, well, here's the thing. Oxygenated bleach is oxygenated bleach. Is
exactly.
Oxygenated bleach. Yep. There's no real difference. And there's OxyClean. There's Clorox OxyMagic. Mm-hmm. There's OxoBrite. Like,
right.
these are all basically the same thing. They're eco-friendly in that they're not chlorine bleaches.
Exactly.
So that's the difference between yep. oxygenated bleach and chlorine bleach is the difference between the oxygen
yeah.
and the chlorine. So anyway, but yeah, the oxygenated bleach. So this is actually like an off book thing.
Yep. I know. I usually use it for laundry, but it's definitely good for other things.
But
too.
It's very good for cleaning. Uh-huh. And off the record, I will not even name the company, although anyone who has read me or listened to this podcast will know exactly what the company is. One of the makers of oxygenated bleach, off the record, said to me that yes, one of the great uses for it is for cleaning a stained interior of enameled cast iron.
Perfect.
So OxoBrite is yeah. a great thing. And I've done it. And actually, I had a friend. I bought this friend his first Le Creuset, actually. It was a gift.
Nice.
It was his birthday and Christmas are close to one another. So I, like, 1 year just
perfect.
Bought him, like, one
very
big
nice
gift.
For, yeah.
And he emailed me this, like, a couple years later. He was like, oh, my God, I just discovered the craziest thing. I was boiling some OxyClean solution in my Le Creuset, like to use, I don't know, like he was gonna like soak shirts in it.
Yeah.
He also is a little crazy. Like, this is maybe not something you should. Anyway, so he was using his Le Creuset for this. And then when he took the water out to use it for whatever on his
yeah.
clothes, he was like, oh my God, it's like a brand, the interior is like a brand new
that's
Le
awesome.
Creuset. Yeah, exactly.
That's
so
fantastic.
The staining, definitely you can use any of those oxygenated mm-hmm. bleaches. Just soak hot water. You could bring it to a boil and let it cool if
yeah.
you wanted. That's
I'm sure
fine.
You can also do the, it's really good at a paste if you have a really stubborn stain.
Yes.
Doing the paste on it and letting it sit
and
a little
letting
bit.
It
and then
sit.
Doing the hot water inside will be perfect.
Exactly. And the other thing is, and this isn't really going to take out so much of the staining, but actually the Bon Ami is mm-hmm. a great thing just for sort of regular cleaning.
It cleans everything.
It cleans everything.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing I'll tell your friend is embrace the patina. Like,
right.
don't get rid of all the stains. It took me a long time to get over having stains on my cookie sheets.
Yes.
But now I see them and I'm like, oh, this is a sign of a well-used, well-loved cookie sheet.
I knew you were going to say that. And you know how I knew you were going to say that? Because that's exactly what I said to her.
Right.
That was like the yeah. first thing I said to her. I was like, well, listen. No, it wasn't the first. I
yeah.
told her what to do. I was like,
here's how you clean it.
Yeah,
fine.
Here are a couple options. I was like, but I was like, you should wear those stains proudly because it means that
yeah.
you actually are using your Le Creuset to cook.
Right. It doesn't look pristine out of the box.
Right. It's not a decoration that you
right.
just keep around in your kitchen.
Yeah.
So in any event, so yes, yeah. I sort of
exactly.
suspected.
Stains on the cookware, great. Stains on the dish towels, not so much. Get new dish towels.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I guess I also kind of have a little bit of a different feeling about that. Like, if it's clean, I feel like I was talking about this on the last episode
yeah.
of the podcast, actually, that like, there's a difference between stained and dirty.
Right.
You can have something yeah. that can be clean, but still have stains. And
absolutely.
I think your dish towel is like, if I throw a dish towel out every time it got a stain that didn't
oh,
come
yeah.
out in a while, I would be constantly
no, I'm talking about like Once I get to, exactly.
Your dish towel can recycle them into rags. Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing.
So great.
It's so funny that you just said this, because also this weekend, in addition to doing the like scrubbing the crystal light dust off of my refrigerator, I'm gonna get so much mail about this. Oh God. I bought new dish towels yesterday, and you know, you have to launder the new dish towels when you get them. Just yesterday, I laundered all of the old ones and the new ones, because the old ones were just in the wash.
Yep.
And I did. I picked through the old ones, and I pulled out the ones that were the most stained, and I put them into the rag pile.
The rag pile is a magical thing.
Yeah. And then the good thing about the rag pile is also that, like, you can just pitch the rags after one or two uses. Yes. You don't have to, like, keep... Because for me, laundering rags is actually kind of an ordeal, because I don't have laundry in my home, nor even in my building, which means I have to take a special trip to the laundromat to launder rags.
Just to do rags. Never
gonna
happen.
And I'm like, this is $3, but like, I resent spending $3 on laundering my rags.
Agreed.
I just do. So I'll just, you know, use them a couple times and then pitch them. Mm-hmm. And that works out great. So here, I want to hear some more of your other favorite, because we have a little bit more time.
Sure.
And since you're a fellow clean person, I've got a live one here, people.
Of course.
I'm not the only one. I just want everyone out there to know I'm not a freak outlier. There are others.
No, there are so many clean people out there.
There are others like us, Kristen.
There's a tribe.
Yeah. And I get a lot of emails from people who are like, I'm a clean person too. Like, I feel so much better knowing that you're out there, and I don't feel so alone in this world.
I'm trying to think what my other...
What are your other favorite cleaning products? What else do you use Bonai Mai for? I mean, I know you use it for everything.
I use it for everything. I use it for cleaning dishes that are really stubborn, cleaning the sink, cleaning the bathroom.
Okay.
All of it. I fully believe in unscented products for as many things as I can find.
I like scents. I have to say, I'm a scent girl.
I don't want my dishes to smell like
lavender
dish soap. Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of dish soap do you use?
I generally use 7th generation, completely no scent, and I dilute it because I live with a roommate. We tend to have our dish rack out at all times and kind of do dishes ad hoc instead of a big sink full.
Which is the way to do it, I think. That's how we do it. Yeah.
It's very easy, unless we're cooking a big meal, and then we'll do a sink full of dishes.
Right.
Fine. But yeah, we just dilute the dish soap. You don't need to use full strength dish soap when you're doing like just on a sponge or on a rag or on a scrub brush. It's super easy.
Yeah.
It's one of my biggest dishes pet peeves.
Yeah. Too much dish soap. Exactly. I love dish soap. I have two kinds at all times.
Oh, what
do you know about this?
Kinds?
Have we not ever talked about this weird...
We might have, and I might just be blanking, or I might just be learning all kinds of new things
about
you
today. You're going to totally understand, even though this is not your way, because you don't like scents, but like, you're going to completely understand this. Oh, I have what I refer to as fancy and utilitarian dish soaps.
Oh, of course.
Palmolive is my
go-to
utilitarian for greasy dishes and stuff like that.
Sometimes you have to have that.
Yeah, it's just like the only thing that's going to get through... Through grease and oil and that kind of stuff. So I love Palmolive, and then I love Mrs. Meyers, because I like this. I do like the scent.
Yeah.
So I'll spend more.
I'm more of a scented hand soap person. Like
that's fair.
That is my where I'm like,
I use Mrs. Meyers hand soap too. I get the refills. And
definitely.
There's this weird, actually I should take you there. You love this place. There's this weird little market right near my apartment that is, it's like mostly dry goods. They don't have, there's like not really produce, but they have, they have like milk.
Yeah.
But it's bigger than a bodega.
Okay.
It's a mart.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's somewhere in between a bodega.
It sounds
and a
magical.
Supermarket. It is magical. Well, here's the most magical thing about it. In the back, there are two aisles that are jam packed with every kind of cleaning supply, and it's all cheap.
That's
I don't
amazing.
Know how. I buy my Mrs. Meyers dish soap for like $2 less than it's sold everywhere else. I don't know how they do it.
Yes, I do need to go to this magical
I'm not
place,
gonna.
Please.
I'm not even going to drop the dime and name this place. I'm afraid they're going to get like shut down.
Or swamped with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the place where I find bluing for the laundry, which I love laundry bluing, and it's hard to find.
It is hard. Oh, yeah. I just order it.
Yeah. No, this place has it.
Okay,
so yeah, we'll have a little field trip.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I treat myself because I can get it. Look, Mrs. Meyers dish soap is kind of expensive.
I don't really
want to spend $5 for a bottle of dish soap when
you go through so much of it.
When Palmolive is 99 cents for a bottle,
yep.
Like that's the thing. So, but because I have this place where I can get it for like $3 or $4,
so do you swap it out and like use? Like put the palm olive away when you have guests come over.
I usually Not when I have guests over. I usually have the Mrs. Myers is out because it's decorative. And like I, oh, and I definitely buy the scent because the label matches my kitchen. Yeah.
Totally.
I mean, I'm,
what's your scent?
It's like the, I think it's, I don't know, it's the green and yellow. Sure. Green and yellow is my scent.
Yeah, I know what it is, but I can't think of what the name is.
So, I just keep, I stash the palm olive under the sink, and that's just where it is. So if I need it, you know, we'll just grab it and go. And now people have learned some very weird things about me today. I feel nervous for what my email inbox is going to look like.
I think it's all good. It just puts you more in context.
What if the you share this on the kitchen and your commenters come after me?
They're not. Yeah.
I'm going to live in fear of the kitchen commenters.
They'll be all right.
On that note, I'm going to go into hiding. I'm going to wrap this up. Kristen, this was really, really fun.
So much
you
fun.
Are great. I loved having a fellow clean person here who understands my weirdness. So I would like to say a big thank you to my guest today, Kristen Appenbrink of The Kitchen. I would also like to say thank you very much to my engineer, Liz Smith, and also to Jack Inslee and Aaron Fairbanks at Heritage Radio Network, who have been so helpful and supportive. Thank you also to our sponsor, the International Culinary Center. If you like what you heard today, please consider subscribing on iTunes, leaving a rating, if you have something good to say, that is, and telling your pals about this great cleaning show that you love so much. Thank you all for listening. This is actually going to do it for the very first season of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. If you can believe it, this is the last episode of the first season.
I'm so honored to be on the last
episode. You are great. That's why I wanted to have you in here, a fellow clean person. I am Jolie Kerr. I will catch you all in September when I return for season 2 with more great guests like Kristen. We are going to be taking on in season 2 subjects ranging from washing an L.L. Bean boat and tote to getting lube stains out of your sheet. So I'm going to go just
the gamut,
just absolutely hog wild in season 2. I hope you all will come back. Subscribing on iTunes is the best way to find me when I resume my season in mid-September. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Jolie Kerr, and this has been Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.